Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the traffic light system, which will be kicking in this evening, and the government's plan for the Omicron variant in case it arrives in New Zealand. I began by asking him why Waikato is placed under orange in the traffic light system when it has active cases compared to Auckland.
Because compared to Auckland, the outbreak in Waikato is reasonably well contained. It's small numbers each day, and they all link to existing cases. So that's pretty much under control. In Auckland, we're still getting close to the majority of cases each day are unlinked, and taking a while to establish the connections between one infected person and the next. So that explains that, and a combination of that, and then for regions like Northland, Tairāwhiti and those other areas, it's the low vaccination levels. The other criterion I think that is applicable is that in some of those areas, particularly Lakes District or and so on around there, is that we expect those to be areas where a lot of people will go for their summer holidays, and a combination of lower vaccination levels and expected larger numbers of people, many in confined spaces, it was our judgment that should be put in at the red level.
But when it comes to changing from, let's say, red to orange or from orange to green, what are the factors that will be considered?
Obviously, vaccination levels is a critical one, and making sure the health system preparedness, although the health system's in pretty good state at the moment to respond to those sorts of things. And then I think just levels of compliance with the regulations or the expectations as we've got them. So, people scanning, people wearing masks, and the use of the My Vaccine Pass as well. So if people are showing good use of those under the red and orange levels, then it gives us confidence that people are conscious of the infection risk and allows us to move people down those levels, eventually down to green.
How will the government can make sure people stick to the rules, especially for the My Vaccine Pass, because they can't be there every time that someone wants to scan your My Vaccine Pass, and how can you police that?
Yeah, so it is kind of policing by exception. It's a bit like a lot of our traffic rules and all the others, all those other sorts of things that do kind of guide safe behaviours. You're absolutely right. You can't monitor absolutely everybody every hour of the day. But what you can do through spot checks, through kind of random placement of enforcement, and through when something does go wrong and you investigate it and you discover that actually it's because somebody doesn't comply with the rules, and there's an infringement regime for people who haven't complied with the rules. So people will know, when we say you can't travel out of Auckland, for example, without being fully vaccinated or having had a test, we'll do spot checks. And if you get caught out, you're going to get an infringement fine and you'll be sent back on your way. If people know that's going to happen, then they might calculate the risk to take, but actually most people will say, just not going to do that. And that'll be the right thing to do, because in the end, this is about making sure people aren't moving and around people who are at highest risk of carrying the virus and moving around and infecting other people. This is the stuff we're trying to stop.
Well, on the other hand, we have the Omicron variant that is slowly spreading to different parts of the world. Is it too risky now to ditch the alert levels and transition into the traffic light system?
No, because, we've got rules around inward travel anyway, requirements to be, very soon, the requirement to be vaccinated will be a condition of getting on an aircraft coming to New Zealand, as it is in many parts of the world at the moment. We have some testing capacity at the airports and what have you. We know Omicron is there, but the way we're managing the border, and I think the way we're managing movement around the country under the traffic light system means that we've got a number of safeguards in place as it is at the moment. It doesn't put us at any greater risk moving out of the the alert level system that we've got up to now.
But if Omicron makes its way somehow into the community, is Cabinet going to change the details of the traffic light system, change the entire playbook?
No, we don't. We don't expect to do that, and we do reserve the right, as we've indicated with the introduction of the traffic light system, that if there is a significant outbreak that is just simply not able to be controlled, then we can do much more localised lockdowns, not of kind of whole vast cities, but of much more confined smaller areas, if we think that there is a problem there. But I think the other thing about Omicron too, we do just have to wait and see what the epidemiologists tell us about the nature and characteristics of that variant, because the early indications are from overseas is that while it might be more contagious, the consequences for those infected with it are much less severe than, for example, with Delta. So I think we just got to, we've got time up our sleeve, because as I say, we don't really significantly relax the border restrictions until mid-January. We've got the traffic light system, we've got rules in place to control crowd numbers under various settings. You know, we've got a lot of mitigations in place, so we're not particularly fussed about the risks of Omicron just at this point.
Is the health system prepared for an Omicron arrival?
Well, it's prepared for the virus in whatever form, mainly the Delta variant at the moment, to move throughout the country. That's what we've been doing over the last sort of 2 or 3 months, getting the system really set up for that. It's interesting, we see the outbreak, small outbreak at the moment in Nelson, that's just sort of arisen in the last 2 or 3 days. I've been in touch with the DHB chair down there, just checking how's it all going. And it was interesting, she said, actually, we're somewhat relieved because we've all been on standby knowing this was going to happen at some point. Now we're into it and we're testing all the systems in real time and in a real world sort of situation, and she said everything's working just as expected. So that gives me confidence that, you know, other DHBs will have been doing the same thing, that actually the DHBs are ready and prepared for the virus to move throughout the country.
Okay, the Auckland boundary is going to be reopened in a couple of days. Well, Aucklanders can leave the city only if they're tested negative in the past 72 hours before they depart. But right now, iwi in Taranaki said people shouldn't travel over there. It's in fact, several regions have said similar things as well. And, well, there's no restrictions for Aucklanders to leave the country, but if they manage to bring COVID into the regions, how prepared are rural hospitals for this sort of eventuality?
Look, I'm confident that they are. As I say, a lot of work in the last 2 or 3 months has been getting ready for justice and getting their system set up. We've had a dedicated team within the ministry, actually headed by Russell Simpson, who's the chief executive of the Whanganui District Health Board, so he knows about district health boards and he's working with his fellow chief executives. And we've had the chief medical officer of the Ministry of Health, Andrew Connolly. When he's not doing that, he's a surgeon out of Counties Monaco. So they've been working very hard with each DHB, making sure they've got plans, and they've spent the last couple of weeks going in detail through plans, particularly of the more vulnerable areas where we expect large concentrations of people over summer, to make sure those provincial DHBs are geared up and ready to go. They're reporting to me, I've been meeting with them every week since they've been working on this, is that they are as confident as they can be that actually the DHBs are geared up, ready to go, got the people in place or on standby, and can respond effectively if there is an outbreak in their particular area.
Is it better for Aucklanders to just stay in the city?
Well, I mean, Aucklanders they've been doing it pretty tough the last 3 months, so they've been more, most of them have tie-hoed and stayed there. They do want to move, and we're aware that particularly around Christmas time, people want to catch up with family and loved ones. And that's why we put a huge emphasis on getting the vaccination level up, running the big vaccination campaign, getting DHBs ready. We knew that we can't hold people forever where they are. There had to be a time at which we relaxed the restrictions and allowed people to travel. The payback, if you like, for the high vaccination level is that people get to move around again. So this is the reality of it. And actually, the high vaccination levels means that, you know, there are more people who are better protected. And so people should be allowed to move around and travel around. We've got a health system that is in a position to cope with infections breaking out in other places. So, look, this is the right thing to do at this time.
Quick word on Care in the Community. What is that about?
Oh, this is just the program of support that goes for people who are infected, who return a positive test, but who are not sick enough to justify going to hospital, or for that matter, going to an MIQ, who can recover at home but might need some support to do so. So it's putting in place the process that for people who do test positive for COVID, they get a proper clinical assessment to check that it's okay for them to recover at home, an assessment about the conditions at home, any support that they need, and making sure that is put in place, and then regular monitoring, so at least daily monitoring. If they need a pulse oximeter, getting one issued to them and getting that to them. and making sure that anybody they live with or in the same household, that their needs are catered for, that they're all safe and protected as well. So it's the program of work that makes sure that we can do that. Like, we've got about 1,700 or 1,800 people in Auckland right now infected who are recovering at home, who are being supported through this sort of service. So it's making sure that is in place, because that will be the way that most people who get infected with COVID over the months to follow will be looked after.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. Caught there.